Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. But before we do, I want to wish all the veterans out there a very happy Veterans Day. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to share something that was shared with me that kind of sums up what it's all about to be a veteran. To everyone who has served our nation, fought in her wars and conflicts, who has worn the uniform with pride, the words I'm about to speak to you already ring true. To everyone else out there, this will give you some insight into our mindset. We are veterans. We left home as teenagers or in our early 20s for an unknown adventure. We loved our country enough to defend it and protect it with our own lives. We said goodbye to friends and family and everything we knew. We learned the basics, and then we scattered in the wind to the far corners of the earth. We found new friends and new family. We became brothers and sisters regardless of color, race, creed, or religion. We had plenty of good times and plenty of bad times. We didn't get enough sleep. We smoked and drank too much. We picked up both good and bad habits. We worked hard and we played even harder. We didn't earn a great wage. We experienced the happiness of mail call and the sadness of missing important events. We didn't know when or even if we were ever going to see home again. We grew up fast, and yet somehow we never grew up at all. We fought for our freedom as well as the freedom of others. Some of us saw actual combat, and some of us didn't. Some of us saw the world, and some of us didn't. Some of us dealt with physical warfare. Most of us dealt with psychological warfare. We have seen and experienced and dealt with things that we can't fully describe or explain, as not all of our sacrifices were physical in nature. We participated in time-honored ceremonies and rituals with each other, strengthening our bonds and our camaraderie. We counted on each other to get our jobs done, and sometimes to survive it at all. We have dealt with victory as well as tragedy. We have celebrated and mourned. We lost a few along the way. When our adventure was over, some of us went back home. Some of us started somewhere new. And some of us never came home at all. We have told amazing and hilarious stories of our exploits and our adventures. We share an unspoken bond with each other that most people don't experience and few will ever understand. We speak highly of our own branch of service and poke fun at the other branches. We know, however, that if needed, we will be there for our brothers and sisters and stand together as one in a heartbeat. Being a veteran is something that had to be earned, and it can never, ever be taken away. It has no monetary value, but at the same time, it's a priceless gift. People see a veteran and they thank them for their service. When we see each other, we give that little upwards head nod or a slight smile, knowing that we have shared and experienced things that most people have not. From myself to the rest of the veterans out there, I commend and thank you for all that you have done and sacrificed for your country. Try to remember the good times and forget the bad times. Share your stories, but most importantly, stand tall and proud, for you have earned the right to be called a veteran. I think that's enough said. What I'm going to do right now is take a moment of silence for those that gave the ultimate sacrifice. On today's show, what I plan to do is talk about a concept known as paying yourself first. And to address that concept, I'm going to use a fable that I'm sure you've heard. I know I heard it growing up, and it has to do with the goose and the golden egg. You know, I find it interesting that wisdom is often clearly laid out before everyone in a book or in a lecture, and few people truly understand it. It's just as Napoleon Hill wrote in his book, Think and Grow Rich, when he hinted that one needs to reread the book several times. And even then, the wisdom can only be captured when a person is ready to hear it. So my question for you, my friends, are you ready? Are you ready to hear the wisdom? When we come back from the break, I'm going to get into that fable, The Goose and the Golden Egg.
Del Wamsley talks about buying your way back from corporate America through real estate.
A massive change in my life. My personal residence I lived in was a one-bedroom condo, cost $425 a month. This covered it. My automobile car payment was only $300 and some a month. This covered it. I was buying my way back from corporate America. I could feel it.
Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your way back from corporate America. Get in control. Get into our live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. So on today's show, I'm going to impart some wisdom on you. And the wisdom that I have in mind is the treasure that can be found in the children's fable, The Goose and the Golden Egg. You know, that tale has given rise to the idiom, killing the goose that lays the golden egg, which refers to the short-sighted destruction of a valuable resource, or, in another context, to an unprofitable action motivated by greed. The idea was further developed in popular wealth literature, such as George Klassen's The Richest Man in Babylon, which was also echoed in Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and is fully supported by Warren Buffett's first and second rules of investing. Now, if you've never heard Warren Buffett's rules, I'll tell you what they are real quick. Rule number one, never lose money. Rule number two, never forget rule number one. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. But what I want to convey to you is the concept of paying yourself first. This simple but very powerful concept is generally known as pay yourself first. Many of you that hear this will be familiar with the principle. But my guess is that few of you will truly understand it, and even fewer practice the concept. The concept is so simple, yet possibly the most powerful wealth-building principle available to the average man, or woman, or person. So what does it mean to pay yourself first? In his book, The Richest Man in Babylon, George Klassen describes a technique that includes putting aside 10% of your income to pay yourself first. The idea is very simple, yet it's extremely profound in its implications. I find that there is a widespread misunderstanding about what paying yourself first really means. The definition is subtle, but important to understand if you plan on using it to create wealth. So let's talk about what paying yourself first isn't. Well, the first thing that comes to mind is the concept of luxuries. You know, some people think that pay yourself first means to treat yourself to something nice when you get your paycheck. As an example, you might get your paycheck on a Friday and decide to go out and eat with the first dollars of the check before you even pay your bills. It's important to realize that this scenario does not pay you first, but instead it actually pays the restaurant first. Do you see the subtle difference? If you were paying yourself first, you would still have that money. So what else is it not? Well, buying a house to live in. Many people think that they are paying themselves first by putting aside money to purchase a home. While this isn't the worst thing you could do with your money, a home does not qualify as a cash-flowing asset. Robert Kiyosaki pointed out in Rich Dad, Poor Dad that your home is actually a liability because it takes money out of your pocket each month. Now, the third thing paying yourself isn't, and a lot of you are doing it, automatic distributions to a 401k. Many of you have either arranged or were told by your employer that you will automatically deposit, say, 10% of your paycheck into a 401k. While this is in line with the spirit of paying yourself first, it doesn't completely qualify under Warren Buffett's rules of investing. The problem with a 401k is that people tend to invest it in stocks or other assets that might lose value. To make matters worse, people tend to tap into their 401k early by either borrowing against it or taking an early distribution. And worst of all, the majority of retirees have to draw down their 401k principal once they reach retirement, which is effectively killing the golden goose. So we talked about what paying yourself first isn't. Why don't we get into the definition of what paying yourself first really is? Based on my understanding of the works of Warren Buffett, Napoleon Hill, George Klassen, and Robert Kiyosaki, I have come up with a definition of what pay yourself first really means. The simplest comparison I can make is the goose from the goose and the golden egg. Wealth is created by consistently feeding the goose that provides you with the golden eggs. In order to continue to grow your wealth, it is important to always feed the goose and never, ever destroy it. Let's talk a little bit about the equity goose. You know, the equity goose is really a metaphor for an asset or group of assets you own and contribute to on a regular basis that rewards you with passive cash flow or passive income. Your equity goose is not your net worth. I mean, the two concepts are loosely related, but they are not the same thing. Many of the assets you might own that contribute to your net worth will not qualify as your equity goose. It's just the way it is. In order to qualify as an equity goose, your asset has to meet three requirements. And I'll just tell you what the three are. And then when we come back from the break, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get into the nuances of the requirements. The first requirement is that you can't tap into the asset. I want you to machinate on that for a moment. The second requirement is the asset cannot lose value. The third requirement, the asset must cash flow. These are very, very important concepts. A lot of people, they lose focus on these concepts. And like I said, when we come back from the break, I'm going to get into the nuances of these three requirements for what an equity goose actually is. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. Before we get back into my concept of the goose and the golden egg, I would just like to say thank you very much to all the veterans that have served and are currently serving our nation. And more importantly, I want to give thanks for all of those veterans that paid the ultimate sacrifice. You know, freedom isn't free. Freedom comes at a cost. And I have seen that cost paid in blood so that we can have the freedoms and the liberties that we enjoy in this country. I've been to many, many places where tyranny is in charge. And I'm here to tell you, it's ugly. It is absolutely ugly. So if you're out and about today and you happen to see somebody maybe wearing their ball cap that says, I served in Vietnam or World War II or Korea or in Afghanistan or Iraq or any of the other places that we have gone as a military force. Do me a favor. Thank them for their service. Because without their service, without their sacrifices, you wouldn't be living the life that you're living. So let's get back into this discussion of the equity goose. And if you're just joining the show, what I'm doing is I'm engaged in a discussion with regards to Aesop's fable, the goose that laid the golden egg. You know, and if you recall that fable from your younger years, or maybe you have small children, maybe you've read them that story, it turns out to be kind of a tragedy. And the point I'm trying to make is that wealth is very similar to that golden goose. You have to protect that goose. You have to make sure that goose is never slaughtered. Because if that goose is slaughtered, then the golden eggs that it produces are no more. So let's talk about that equity goose. And more importantly, there's three requirements that an asset must meet in order to qualify as your equity goose. The first one is it cannot be tapped into. Let me be very clear here. It is of the utmost importance that your equity goose always grows and never gets smaller. This automatically disqualifies your rainy day fund because you might potentially tap into it, you know, when it rains or in an emergency, that type of thing. It disqualifies your personal checking account because you, and I too, use it to pay our bills. Remember, that equity goose can never get smaller. It disqualifies the equity in your home if you ever take out a home equity line of credit. And especially if you use that money for anything else but buying real estate assets. Basically, your equity goose needs to have an impenetrable firewall around it. It needs to be as hard as possible for you to tap into it. Let me give you an example. I think the simplest form of an equity goose is something called a money market account. Money market accounts limit your ability to access the asset for this exact reason. It's a good idea to set up a money market account at a different bank rather than the bank that you use to pay all your bills. And the rationale for it is this. The temptation to make an online transfer from one account to another, if you did that, you may be killing your equity goose. Don't trust in your own willpower to protect that goose. Remember, we're human beings, and as such, we have a tendency to have weak moments. The smart thing to do is to keep it away from yourself. Yeah, protect it from you. Now, the second requirement for your equity goose or any asset that you're considering as part of your equity goose is that it cannot lose value. As I said earlier in the show, Warren Buffett's first and second rules of investing are very simple. And if you missed it, I'll repeat them for you right now. The first rule is don't lose money. And the second rule, well, don't forget rule number one. I've known these rules for many, many years, but only in the last couple of years did I really understand what Buffett was trying to tell us. Warren Buffett is telling us not to invest in anything that has the possibility of going down in value. So this immediately eliminates stocks. As ironic as that may seem, Buffett is telling you not to invest in stocks because they have the possibility of losing value. The only way to protect your asset from losing value is to buy it at wholesale. You know, Warren Buffett's strategy is that he'll find a company that's worth $1 million. And he'll buy it for $500,000. Essentially, he'll buy it for 50 cents on the dollar. To keep your equity goose healthy, you need to buy assets at 50 to 70 cents on the dollar. The most practical asset class to accomplish this rule is real estate, specifically residential income producing real estate. By either buying a house at 70 cents on the dollar or maybe even becoming a private money lender who loans no more than 70% loan to value, you are protecting yourself from losses. Now, the third requirement, it must cash flow. You know, the great minds have been trying to tell us to buy assets that produce realized cash on a monthly or quarterly basis. So why do people buy stocks with no dividends? Well, somewhere along the way, we've been sold on the concept that we don't need cash flow, but we do. Sources of cash flow include things like interest on savings and money market accounts, dividends on stocks, not capital appreciation, and of course, cash flow from real estate. Did you know that a money market account is the most secure form of cash flow because it is guaranteed by the FDIC. Those accounts may only yield 1% to 2%, but they fit all of the requirements for an equity goose. And rental real estate, well, that's my favorite form of cash flow because it provides a higher rate of return, ranging from maybe 6% to 30%. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to get into the mechanics of what you need to do next. We'll be back right after this.
As I sit here and read article after article and see TV show after TV show, the normal person out there on the street cannot overcome their fear to get to the analytical part of this whole process. I'm not afraid of, and I'm actually ready for a recession, a crash of value of anything and everything. Why? It is the opportunity to do incredible stuff. But that's my analytical brain.
The United States has a very strong economy. We will return to our basic economic foundation. This is not going to be the end of the world for everyone. But you do need to take some action. And some actions will be more productive than others. And one of the things that I think you can do now is take this time, like you said, Del, people are going to be sitting at home, and you have a time right now to change your life. Make what you have work for you.
You need to get into lifestyles right now.
Join us for our free online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
If you buy your rental real estate at wholesale prices with cash flow, you are protected from downturns and it meets all of the requirements of the equity goose. That's the way it works. What I'm going to do in this last segment is we're going to talk a little bit about the mechanics. The first step is to figure out how big your equity goose actually is. Given the strict guidelines I described in the last segment, many people will not have very many assets that qualify. And it's okay if your number is not impressive. The key is to know where you stand so that you can plot a course forward. Now, everybody has two numbers. To really take advantage of the wisdom of paying yourself first, you should know these two numbers. The first one is the value of your equity goose. The second one is the cash flow or the golden eggs that goose or those geese provides. It's similar to knowing your weight or, you know, maybe what your GPA was in school. It's a measurement. Everyone needs to know where they stand, but to be honest with you, most of you don't. It's just the way it is. So what if your number is zero? What if your equity goose value is zip? Your first action should be to scrounge up enough money, even if it's just a couple hundred bucks, to open up that money market account that you will never allow yourself to tap into except to purchase cash flowing assets. Remember, choose a bank different from the one that you always use for your monthly bills. That'll keep the impulsiveness to potentially tap into that money out of the equation. It won't prevent it, but it will certainly help create a firewall. You're going to feel a tremendous amount of accomplishment just by taking that simple step. To sum up, your whole life up to that point was a zero equity goose. But now you have planted the seed that will soon get you on the road to becoming wealthy. And every month from this point on, it is important that you put something into that account. Even if you cannot afford the entire 10% of your salary, at least you are feeding something into that equity goose. Now let's talk about your first acquisition. Before long, you're going to have enough money in your equity goose to purchase a cash flowing asset, but don't rush it. Your money market account fits all the requirements until you find another qualified asset to move that money into. It's more important to keep your money in a low performing asset that fits the criteria than it is to risk your goose on a higher performing asset that doesn't fit. When you find an asset selling at a wholesale price that cash flows, make sure you do your due diligence and make sure that it qualifies. And if it does, pull the trigger and acquire that asset. You know, it could be your first single-family home that's selling for more, or actually, I should say, that's selling for less than it's actually worth. It could be a small apartment community with a lot of deferred maintenance in a good working-class neighborhood. Maybe it's a duplex, triplex, or a fourplex. I'm here to tell you, the possibilities, they're out there, and you can find them. You just have to educate yourself. You have to know what you're doing, and then the assets start to materialize. It's the way it works. Now, let's talk a little bit more about cash flow. As long as you follow the rules, you can take comfort in the fact that your goose will always get bigger and your cash flow will grow along with it. Ultimately, your goal will be to live on the cash flow without ever touching your goose. In real estate, you can reasonably expect to make around 10% cash flow on your investment. Some markets, it's less. Some markets, it's more. But I like 10% because it's an easy number to work with. It makes it easy to determine how big your goose needs to be to ultimately support you. What am I talking about? Let's frame that. If you need, let's say, $50,000 a year to live on, and I'm not saying $50,000 to replace your salary at your job. I'm just talking about $50,000 in order to pay your bills. If you have assets that are paying 10% cash flow on your money, you're going to need an equity goose that's valued at about $500,000. Now, that doesn't mean it has to be one property worth $500,000. It can be a collection of different properties that amass to a valuation of $500,000. If you need $100,000 to live on, okay, let's do the math. You're going to need $1 million worth of assets in your equity goose. The key takeaway is that you need to start today by planning to grow your goose until it's big enough for you to live on. That's really the way it works out. One of the biggest problems out there is the existing retirement system. I'm here to tell you, it's broken. It's absolutely broken. If you follow the conventional 4% rule that says you're gonna have a big bucket of money out there in your 401k, and you're going to draw that down by 4% per year, you need to figure out a couple of things. I mean, first of all, the big wild card out there is how long are you going to live? I say it time and time again on this show. There is no expiration date stamped on your left hip or your right hip for that matter. It's not there. We don't know how long we're going to live. We can guesstimate. I mean, we can say, all right, well, the men in my family have a tendency to live to the age of 75. The women in my family have a tendency to live to the age of 80. I'm a man. So my father lived longer than my grandfather. So maybe I'll get to, I don't know, 77, 78, but it's a guess. And the kicker is, you have to look at that big pile of money in your 401k that isn't paying you a dime while you're stuffing money into it. And yeah, it might be going up in value. What'd your financial planner tell you? 7 to 8%, maybe 10% in growth over time. So how big does that pile of money need to be? And how long is it going to last? You got to do the math. And then you got to figure out, okay, at what age do I pull the trigger? At what age do I decide, that's it, I'm old, I'm done, I'm retired? Is that 60? 65? 70? I know people that are still working in their 70s. And I'll tell you what, I feel for them. I really, really feel for them. Because they didn't learn the life lessons along the way. Or maybe they had something come up in their life that created a massive financial problem for them. And they never recovered from it. See, I think when you sit down and you figure out, how much money do I need to live on per year? And you start generating assets that start producing that cash flow. And you get enough assets based on whatever rate of return you think you're going to get. You'll know exactly how much money in assets or value in assets you need to accumulate. And by the way, our definition of retirement at Lifestyles Unlimited, it's not an age. It's a number. It is all about a number. And when you get to that point, not only do you regain control of your life, you make an informed decision as to whether or not you're going to continue to work. It's a great feeling. And it may not be a feeling that you have right now. So if you want to find out about how to invest in real estate correctly, go to freeworkshoplivestream.com. That's freeworkshoplivestream.com. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.